Welcome to another episode of Open Doors, Conversations with Heart of the Father. I'm your host, Jacqueline Harper. Open Doors is a conversation about inviting God's love, presence, and power into our hearts. We are friends and teammates from Heart of the Father Ministries who share in the mission of setting captive hearts free through Unbound Ministry. We're so glad you could join us. Well, welcome everyone to season 3, episode 24 of our podcast. I can't believe we're more than halfway through season 3 already.
Wow.
Yeah. Life goes by fast. It's good, but sometimes goes too quickly. So here we are in our Lenten series approaching the fifth Sunday of Lent. We're almost in the home stretch here, folks. That too. Only 11 days, I think, till Palm Sunday when this episode drops. So hope everybody's having a good Lent. So I have here with me today the lovely Jen Lozano, who many of you know, but if you don't, she is an amazing woman, and I am honored that I get to work alongside her. So I didn't give her a heads up on this, but I just wanted you all to know, listening, if you don't, that Jen sort of carries all the things here at Heart of the Father Ministries. She is the one spinning all the plates, keeping the boat afloat, kind of like the Atlas of the world on her shoulders sometimes. You guys probably don't know a lot of what Jen does. And rather than ask her to tell us all the things, I thought it'd be fun just to ask, what is something, Jen, that you love about your job or something that you've done recently for Heart of the Father that you feel really proud of?
Definitely my love is always all the people that we connect with all over the world, all the time. It's just such a gift to, I know I've said this before, but to have this Unbound family all over the place. It's just so, so amazing. What was this other part of the question you asked? I forget.
Something that you've done. You do so many things that most of us don't even know. Something that you've done that you feel good about, that you feel proud of.
Well, two things come to mind. One is, we re-recorded the basic and advanced training series. And finally, not the finished product, but it's in our laps right now. And so our team is taking time to review the videos and just, you know, go over them with a fine-tooth comb, make sure everything sounds really good, looks great, the scriptures are up on the screen correctly, you know, all those little details. And I'm definitely really proud of this project just because it's such good content. Like Matt and I are like, this stuff is so, so good. And Film Media Productions, who did the recordings for us, did an incredible job. So I'm so happy and can't wait to get those out to everyone very soon, probably after Easter sometime. And the second thing that comes to mind is, it's been a long trek, but over the past 5 years or so, we have been translating all of our resources into Spanish. And I've been kind of like project lead on that. And yeah,
amazing.
It's been a huge job, but it's also really exciting just to see all these resources that are going out into the Spanish speaking world. I know it's going to have a tremendous impact.
Huge impact.
If only I could speak Spanish.
<I know. laughs> But you do a great job editing. What an answer to prayer. I mean, that has been, you know, we just get so many emails from folks looking for our materials in Spanish. So Project Lead, what a gift. What a gift to so many people that you took that on and were able to see it through.
Yeah, we're almost there. Almost at the finish line.
Almost at the finish line. Seeing it through, but you know, Jen's going to see it through. So I said it in faith. Awesome. Well, thank you. I think it'd be great to get to know over the next season a little bit more about what Jen Lozano does, because she does so many things. Anyway, today, what she and I are going to do is talk about this Sunday's reading in our liturgical church, but a great reading, whether you're reading it on Sunday or not, from Jeremiah 31:31-34. So Jen, how about, would you read it for us?
Sure. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. Wow, that's a pretty awesome scripture. And I had to laugh. I feel like I was on a podcast earlier in Lent with Lisa, and we talked a lot about covenant. Mm-hmm. And here it is again, Jacqueline. So again, God is highlighting covenant for us. And if you haven't listened, or just a reminder, if you did listen to that podcast, we talked about covenant being a contract.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of things that Lisa and I, we talked about were that, or the covenant in scripture, it particularly came with promises and signs of the covenant, and they were also connected to family in each covenant. So just a quick reminder. And it seems like, you know, here we are again, the word covenant is mentioned four times throughout this scripture in Jeremiah. So, you know, raises your antennas a little, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It, like you said, it is a big scripture. It's kind of a foreshadowing that helps us understand why Jesus made a new covenant with us. I was thinking about how God made these covenants, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David. Those are the ones that jump out at me. And yet in all of those, we couldn't hold up our end of the deal. Like, I had this covenant with you and you couldn't hold it up. So I'm going to make a new covenant with you and give you the power to uphold it, which is found in Jesus. So that's where this is all going.
Yeah, the promises were broken, right? Yes. By God's people in all of those situations. Yeah,
so Jesus sort of simplifies everything for us. We broke the promises. All the promises were broken, as Jen said. But God tells us through Jeremiah that he is going to write his law upon our hearts. And on Passover, Jesus says in the words he spoke that this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new covenant. The blood of the new covenant. His covenant is his life. You know, his life is death and resurrection and his new life. So he becomes the new covenant, the law made flesh, all the other covenants revealed and upheld in him. In his covenant with Abraham, God would offer protection and land to Abraham and his descendants, but they had to follow God and all that he commanded, and future generations had to perform the ritual of circumcision. You know, that was the symbol in that covenant. And then in Moses, God promises to make Israel into a holy kingdom of priests. They'll spread blessing and glory to all the nations. They had to obey the laws given at Mount Sinai, and there was other ritual and moral law. The promise was that God would bring blessings if they followed his commands, but curses if they ignored them. And then God makes covenant with David. And he promises to make his name great, to raise up a descendant from his line, whose throne and kingdom will last forever. Now, we know who that is. But at the time, you know, that was a promise unfulfilled at that moment. So David and his descendants had to remain faithful to God, following the covenant laws, offering sacrifices in the temple. But in the new covenant, in the covenant through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and new life, everything changes. It really gets simpler. Before it was, I'm your God, you're my people, so you have to behave in a certain way. But in Jesus, in this new covenant, this is just what I was thinking about as I was preparing. We see that everything takes a back seat to relationship with God through Jesus. It's relationship and not rule.
That is so good. That is so good, Jacqueline. I I love to just sit and think about how God and Jesus, through Jesus, like, put all these other ideas and covenants to the side, and he elevates relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I just think about how God is relationship, how he desires relationship with us, how he makes relationship accessible. Like, mm-hmm. it's just so, so good. But going back a sec, you mentioned Jesus on Passover offering the cup of his blood, the blood of the new covenant. And I'm glad that you mentioned Passover, because here we are in Lent,
right,
heading towards Passover, mm-hmm. which, and heading towards Palm Sunday. And I just think that's so amazing that, I think I said this in the very first week of Lent, like, we are heading towards the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so here in the scripture, God is reminding us about covenant again, because he's continuing to lead us down the road with Jesus towards his death and resurrection, and leading us into that relationship with him, which is just,
yes,
I don't know, it's just amazing to me sometimes to think about, like, these scriptures that were written,
mm-hmm.
you know, you mentioned David and us not knowing who God was referring to. Mm-hmm. It's like just amazing how it comes together. And even today in 2024, we're remembering and we're still walking that road with Jesus to the resurrection, you know. Just cool.
Yeah, it's kind of all laid out, but it's like, for he who has eyes to see, so many of us miss it, right?
Yeah.
I was preparing for this and I was talking to my husband and I just had that same revelation, like, wow, this all really makes sense. Like, it all fits together. Who knew?
And it's not like you and I haven't read Jeremiah 31 before. We both have read it, like,
yes,
a bazillion times, right?
Yes, and how many times have I heard the readings, you know,
yeah,
in this cycle and all that. But,
and that's, you know, it's God outside of time too. So Jesus walked that road to his death and resurrection. And then we have walked that road with him before, but here we are today walking it again, mm-hmm. with him. And so we can still receive from this scripture even today, because we're in relationship. So it's continuing to move forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that struck me, I think you mentioned it, but in the reading, was, I will write my law upon their hearts. And Jen, can you unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah. Honestly, that was actually the first thing that jumped out to me from the scripture, is I kind of sat up and I looked at Matt, because I was sitting near Matt, and I go, that's the Holy Spirit. And he's like, you bet it is. How does God put his law inside of us? How does he write it upon our hearts? But of course, it's the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. you know, and he's abiding in us in the Holy Spirit. And just in the Old Testament, when they made these promises, it was external, but now it's alive inside mm-hmm. of us. And this is my imagination, maybe going off the ledge a little bit, but I'm just thinking about our beating hearts and, like, our hearts moving blood throughout our bodies, and just the Holy Spirit infusing God throughout our bodies,
mm-hmm.
and just how the Holy Spirit infuses us, you know?
Amen.
So.
That's really good. Yeah, it's just so great to know we don't have to do it. It's been done for us.
Mm-hmm.
And all we need to do is profess our trust in Jesus and walk alongside him, you know? And it makes me think of Matt's book, Free to Be Holy, which is exciting because we're going to do a book study on that after Lent. So yeah, so Jen, you are so much a part of Matt writing that book. Like, what do you think about when you think of this new covenant, and then how the Lord writes his law upon our hearts so that we can walk in holiness?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, again, reading this Jeremiah scripture, I looked at that last line where it says, remember their sin no more.
Mm.
Wow. How does God do that? Like, I'm thinking about even being a parent, and when your child does the wrong thing, like, you forgive them, but you've seen that it's happened, you know? Or David and his encounter with Bathsheba, and how does God remember that no more? And so, connected to Matt's book, Free to Be Holy, where he talks about we are holy in Christ, yes. right? So we are clothed in Christ. And so when God looks at us, he sees his son. And so for me to see this scripture, which again, back to the whole outside of time thing, like God is already seeing what's going to happen through yeah. his son. He's already seeing like, I'm going to have relationship with you. And not that he wants us to mm-hmm. not to sin, you know, but he's going to remember our sin no more. Like that is just amazing. And so that idea of when Jesus dies and his resurrection, we are in him. In our baptism, we are in him. And so God sees us through the lens of his son, right?
And it's so interesting to me how this word of hope and light and promise comes through Jeremiah, who really wasn't seeing things that way at yeah. the time. I mean, he was a tough cookie. His messages were mostly condemnation of false worship, social injustice, and a call to repentance. So he offered hope. But I haven't read a ton of Jeremiah lately, but I went back and just kind of did a little overview of the first few chapters. And that's kind of what he's known for. I mean, he's also called the weeping prophet because he did feel so sad for the state that the people were in. But he, in his heavy calls to repentance, shares this uplifting passage that, hey, this is wonderful news. You guys can't do it. You're not doing a good job, but God's going to do it. It's good news, not only for the people of God at the time, but this is good news for all, everyone. A promise that God will forgive all of our sins. As Jen said, remember them no more, which is mind-boggling, but it's for everyone, everyone. And jumping to the Acts of the Apostles, if you want to take a peek at, you see how troubling that is for like the early church. Uh-huh. Just so much like circumcision, yes or no. It's just really interesting to see how much the apostles, the early church really struggled with understanding that this promise was for all. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. And that makes me think back to that first week in Lent as well, where we talked about family. I think we talked about the new covenant and it being for everyone.
You did.
So it's the family of God, you know, which is amazing. So
it's the family of God. It's a trust covenant. Yeah.
Mm. Jacqueline, I like how you mentioned trust covenant. And I'm wondering, just to maybe, as we're getting towards the end here, what does our participation in the new covenant look like?
Mm. That is a good question that I'm going to try to answer personally. I remember taking a course in college that everyone had to take, and I had a great teacher. He happened to have the same last name, Lozano, John Lozano.
Oh, that's so funny. Uncle John.
He was the first Lozano I ever met. And we read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And of course, I was born into a family that had me baptized as a Catholic. I had made several professions of faith, you know, getting through confirmation. And I sort of had a personal encounter with the Lord in high school. And so many different times I had chosen Jesus in different ways, in different capacities. Mm. But here I was starting a new season in my life, having just decided that I wasn't really living a trust relationship. Like I wasn't really trusting in Jesus. I wasn't really making him Lord of my life. And I had been at a mountaintop a month earlier where I was trying, but there were areas of my life that I just didn't want him to come into. And so here I was in this course, reading Mere Christianity. Something that Professor Lozano said to me hit me. And I'm just going to say it was a Holy Spirit moment where I knew that walking in this new covenant, it was not like the world was black and white and it became color, because there had been many times when I had chosen the Lord and I were in a journey towards Jesus, towards heaven. But in this moment, I was given an opportunity to sort of lift up my hand and hold on to his and say, Jesus, I trust you no matter where you take me, no matter what that means. I need to let go of in terms of things that aren't good for me, that are not part of my identity. and trust you that you are the best, you're good, and that you're safe. You will pour out your Holy Spirit in my heart and allow me to walk in this new covenant. Mm-hmm. It was just a really profound moment. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, I love that. And actually, it makes me think you use the word faith and, oh, when was Matt and I's Lenten reflection? I forget, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? But we looked at the blind man and how his faith led him to Jesus. And we talked about that a little bit, but just, yeah, just making that act of faith, saying, Jesus, I trust in you. I read this scripture today, and sorry, this might be getting a little long, but we can close it from here. But I read this scripture from Joel today. This is from Joel 2, verse 12 to 13. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, "Return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God." I was just thinking, as you were sharing, Jacqueline, like how so much of it is about our hearts and what God's doing in our hearts. And, you know, looking back at Jeremiah again, he will write it upon our hearts. But God's not looking at the exterior. Mm-hmm. He's looking at what we're doing with our hearts. So can we rend our hearts and not our garments and give our hearts to him?
Would you be able to lead us in a prayer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Jen.
Lord, we thank you that relationship is such top priority for you. Jesus, we thank you that you have made a way for us to have relationship and to be in relationship with you and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just reflecting on what Jacqueline shared about trust, we just want to profess our trust in you, Jesus. We trust you ever you're leading us. We trust in your goodness. We trust in your plan. We trust in your death and resurrection and what you've done for us. And Lord, we do give you our hearts in this moment right now. We ask that you would have your way, that you would write your law within us and upon our hearts, that we might follow you. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless all the listeners as they are heading towards the end of Lent right now, that they would encounter you in relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. That was awesome, Jen. That was so good. So real quick, if you are in the Fredericksburg, Virginia area or within driving distance, you might want to pop down to Fredericksburg this Friday and Saturday. Jen and Matt will be at the St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception Church presenting a Freedom in Christ conference. Jen, do you think there'll be room at the door?
Oh, sure.
Awesome.
Bring a friend.
You can find out information on our website, heartofthefather.com, under the events tab. And just two other quick things we're really excited about. We mentioned Matt's book, Free to Be Holy. We're starting a book study in 2 weeks, March 28th. So you have just enough time to order your book. If you haven't already, find that on our website, heartofthefather.com. Under resources and then the Unbound store. And I'll also link it in the show notes. And last but not least, we are hosting our local Freedom in Christ conference here in the Philadelphia area, April 26th and 27th, where our whole team will be there. It's at St. Lawrence Church in Upper Darby. Join us if you can. It's a great time of year in Philadelphia. Thank you so much, guys, and be blessed by our final Lenten series episode next week. Have a great week. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about taking hold of the freedom you have been given in Christ, check out our website, heartofthefather.com, and find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is Matt,
Jen,
Rachel,
and Jacqueline saying goodbye until next time.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door,
I will come in to him and eat with him.
And he with me. Revelation 3:20.